Let us all say amen. I want to thank everyone thus far, the brothers that have participated in this worship service on this afternoon. I am thankful for another opportunity, and I consider it a privilege to come before you and share with you the Word of God. I want to say to those that are on the call, you are our guests, especially those that may not be members of the Church of Christ. You are VIPs, our very important persons, and we want to extend a hearty welcome to you on this afternoon, and just thank you again for being with us to study another portion of God's Word. I want to speak from this afternoon as we continue in Peter's second letter to those that were Christians. Brother Brooks, thank him this morning on an excellent job in sharing with us. They preach the gospel. We want to share with you from those things that were said this morning and connect him with those people that did believe. Brother Brooks talked about, do you believe what the Bible says? Or do you believe what the Bible states in it? And so we talking to those that have become Christians, those that had obeyed the gospel. And I want to say to everyone that I like to look at Jeremiah made an observation himself in the Old Testament in Jeremiah 10 and verses number 23, when Jeremiah said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." I hope that all of us realize that, as Jeremiah realized, that the direction of man, the way that man should go, is not in himself from a spiritual standpoint. It is not in man that walketh to direct himself. He must have direction, and that direction comes from the Word of God, the Bible. And so as I look at the Peter's letter again, we have, as he talked about, thank the brother for reading the scriptures on this afternoon, our subject title that we'll find when we get to verse number 19 is, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." So after writing about the most important responsibility that any person has who has become a Christian, possess in this life, the Apostle Peter shares his own responsibility to those that are Christians while informing them of the certainty of the Word of God. When you say, what's the most important responsibility, Peter said to them in verse number 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." He said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his sins. And then he says in verse number 10, he says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall." And I want to say, when Peter was talking there, we talked about, Brother Brooks talked about those that believe. I want to say, for those that believe, and those that are on the call this afternoon, want to try to make this where we can understand the message from the Word of God and make it relevant. Baptism into the Church of Christ is the only initial vaccination against sin that anyone can receive to prevent them from going to hell or Hades when this life is over. The only vaccination is water baptism into Christ's church. And like the Moderna vaccine, The Apostle Peter is writing that the follow-up dose of medication is the seven graces that one must have in them that will stop one from apostasy or not continuing to follow Christ to one's footed. And that's why Peter said that if these things be in you, if they be in you, these graces, you got the first dose. You've been water baptized for the remission of your past sins. You are a Christian. And what Peter said, that if these things, notice verse number 10, if these things in you, the other seven things that you add to your faith that cause you to obey God, he said, you shall never fall. And in that context, the word fall here means not going in the intended direction or to fall in waywardness or to leave the Lord, to walk away from the Lord. Or if these things be in you, Peter said, they shall make you where you're going to be the type of Christian you need to be. The efficacy or the effectiveness of the obedience to the word of God is 100%. It's not like Pfizer. It's not like Moderna. It's not like Johnson & Johnson. The word of God is for certain. It's 100%. I want to say this also. However, one can accept the first dose and refuse the second dose. You can have Christians that leave the Lord or walk away from the Lord, or your walk will be such that you are not striving to go to heaven. Look in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I want to say this because no such thing as once saved, always saved. You have to have these graces in you, what Peter said. And if they are these things are in you, you won't leave the Lord. But notice what Paul said to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 2. And the verse, I started verse number 1 for those that were added to the Lord. He said, I am crucified with Christ. That's baptism. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And watch this now. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live, Brother Brooks said this morning, by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now, some Bibles may have, I do not make void the grace of God, or I do not make ineffective the grace of God. In other words, God could have extended grace to you, and you made it not effective or ineffective. He said, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Sometimes we can live a life as a Christian as though Christ died in vain because his dying does not help us to live as we ought to live in the Lord. I want to share that with us from the Word of God because Peter said, let's go back to Peter's letter. Because of these things being you and you've added to your faith the seven graces that Peter talks about, note what Peter says. He says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly or richly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that everlasting kingdom is none other than the church of Christ. Peter says, a way or an entering shall be ministered unto you abundantly into that everlasting kingdom. And so Jesus said, in Matthew 6:33, for those that are on the call that are not Christians, Jesus prioritized your life for you. If you're seeking the Lord, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is the church of Christ that will teach you how to become a Christian. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, he said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, and that's spiritually, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So a person, in order to enter the kingdom of God, the everlasting kingdom, one must be obedient to the word of God. You have to have the vaccination that God requires. Yeah, what God requires. Man has a vaccination against COVID. However, God has the vaccination or the instruction or the medication to save one from sin. Only God can do that. And that happens through obedience to the will of God. One has to be obedient to the will of God. And that's why Jesus in his writing said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. How do I get into the kingdom of God, Jesus? But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And the will of his Father is that one be baptized, as Jesus told Nicodemus. One be baptized at the instructions of the Holy Spirit. One be baptized, water baptized, for the forgiveness of his sins, and God will add you to the church. And so Peter then says, as we look at our lesson on this afternoon, he said, wherefore? Now, Peter now talks about his own personal responsibility. He said, wherefore? I will not be negligent or be careless to put you always in remembrance, to give you a reminder, to think about this, of these things. He said, though ye know them and be established or confirmed in the truth, you can have these things. But Peter says, I will not be negligent. And that's for any preacher. He said, I will not be negligent. Yeah, so I want to share, a preacher of the gospel in the Church of Christ has clear responsibilities in his Christian ministry. They are twofold. The first, as Brother Brooks did, has been doing on this morning concerning the Acts of the Apostles. The first responsibility is to save the soul. That's the first responsibility, is to save the soul by the preaching of the gospel and the obedience to the gospel. And then, as the Apostle Peter writes, is to keep the soul safe. So let's look at the first responsibility. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 26, where you'll see instructions given to Paul by Jesus himself as it relates to that first responsibility. Acts chapter 26. And beginning at verse number 15, when the Lord Christ met with Paul, and the Bible says that he, and I said, Paul doing the talking, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. And Jesus told him, but rise, and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. He said, that's the reason I came to you, that those things that you've seen and also the things that I'm going to appear unto thee. And notice what he says in verse 17, Jesus said he did for Paul. He said, I deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I'm sending thee. And I want to say this. Sometimes it's the people that don't care for the preacher that he has the responsibility to save through the word of God. It's those same people that God had to rescue Paul from. It was those same people that Jesus was sending Paul back to in order to try to save those individuals. How does he do it? Verse 18, and this is statement for all, the mission statement for all preachers of the Church of Christ. Jesus said to Paul, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified. Notice he said, by faith that is in me being Jesus. So the responsibility of the preacher is to open up people's spiritual eyesight and to turn them, anyone that is not in the Lord church is in darkness. Our responsibility is to show them and to turn them to the light, to turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God. That, and it's through the gospel, that they might receive forgiveness of sin. And how does one receive forgiveness of sin? Jesus said it in Mark 16, and the verse is number 15 and 16. And Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So one has to not only, Brother Brooks said this morning, not only has to believe the Bible, but one has to also be baptized in order to be saved. And let me share this. Going back, staying with Acts chapter 28, and verse number 27, you can have people that believe what the Bible says, but still will not obey the Lord. Notice what King Agrippa responded back to Paul after Paul preached unto him. Paul said, King Agrippa, verse 27 of Acts 26, believest thou the prophets? Notice what he said. I know that thou believest. And Agrippa's response to him in verse 28, in which is some that we come in contact with, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. When I think about our VIP class that we have after worship service, and all the individuals that have come in there, and those individuals that was almost persuaded but would not be obedient to the will of God. And so I want to say to those of us that are in the church, we can believe the Lord and obey the Lord initially, but not live as a Christian ought to live. We talked about that in Peter's first letter. But going back to Peter's letter that he wrote, he said in verse number 13 of 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, yea, I think it meet or right, as long as I'm in this tabernacle of body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. It's the responsibility of the preacher to arouse you through the Word of God and to get you to give an emotional response from the Word of God. How does he do that? Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and turn your Bible to verse number 4. Responsibility of the preacher also, not only to preach the gospel and also try to remind those, but Paul told Timothy as a preacher, he told him in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, he said, preach the word and be instant, in season, out of season. And then notice he gives three responsibilities: reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So when the word is preached, sometimes the word has to reprove or is done to correct. It can be an individual. It can be the congregation. It is to reprove or to correct. Other times, it is to rebuke. It is to express disapproval or sometimes even criticism because of behaviors of those congregationally or individual. And then one that I enjoy, it is to exhort. The word exhort means to call to one side for encouragement or to advise. And we all need encouragement. And so Paul said that's the threefold nature of the preacher. He said, and to do it with long suffering. Long suffering means to show patience. We talked about patience is one of the things that we should all have in us, one of those graces that we add to the faith, and pray, and patience being able to wait or to deal with problems in the proper spirit. And he said, we also do it when you reprove, when you rebuke, when you exhort, you can do it with, Paul said, with doctrine. Show patience and also give doctrine. And because Peter said, going back to his letter, knowing that shortly, Peter said, I must put off this my tabernacle. And he referred to his tabernacle simply being his body. He said, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. He said, moreover, I will endeavor. I'm going to give attention and care and diligence that you may be able, he says, after my decease, after my death, to have these things always in remembrance or in your memory. In other words, the things that you have learned, those things need to be kept in your memory. I was saying with our class on Wednesday night, we were talking about Jesus and his Sermon on the Mount, and I shared with the class, when it comes to a temptation of fighting the devil, we got to go back. And why is memory so important? Because turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 4. When we talk about temptation and how we win this fight over the devil, notice the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, there was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be, notice now, to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. Understand this here. The devil oftentimes coming at us when we are our weakest point. The Bible says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, and I'm telling you, the reason why memory and remembrance is so important to the Christian, notice what Jesus did in Matthew 4:4, one of, if not my favorite scripture, when Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Jesus remembered what was written in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. Jesus had a memory, and I'm saying to each of us, how do you fight the devil? You need to have memory. And I'm saying to each of us, you need to have scripture. So when the devil tempts you, you know from 1 John chapter 2, 15 and 16, the devil has three avenues by which he comes. The lust, excuse me, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So you need scripture. So when the devil comes at you, do the same thing Jesus did. Each time the devil first tempted him from a fleshly standpoint, then he tempted him by showing him some things. And Jesus said in verse number 7, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So what am I saying with the Christian? You need to have Bible in your mind so when the devil comes at you, you can use Bible against the devil just as Jesus did. Jesus had a memory. Jesus knew the word of God. That was Deuteronomy 6:16. And then when he came in Jesus the last time, he says, all these things, verse 9, will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's the importance. That's the responsibility of the preacher, is to share those things with you, but you have a responsibility. Your responsibility is to keep the word of God in your heart, to keep it in your memory. I'm putting before you the word of God. It's your responsibility to lock it in. That's your responsibility. You have to lock the word of God in your heart. But the sad thing for many Christians, we don't retain the word of God in our heart that it can help us in times of trouble. When the devil comes at us and tempts us, we fall because we don't. Jesus gave the prescription, have Bible. Have Bible. Have Bible. I shared with the group that we studied with on Wednesday night what the Bible says when it comes to the lustful eye. I shared with them what David said in Psalm 101 and the verse is number 3, the 101 division, and the verse is number 3. David said this, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. Some of us sin because we put in front of us stuff that we know is not godly. It is sinful. We put those things before our eye. We watch things that we know are rated R and other ratings, and you know you're going to see stuff you ought not to see as a Christian. And how? Because the one thing that the talking about what we put before our eyes, when you go to theater, they will tell you what the rating of the movie is before you watch it, and they will tell you why it's rated where it's rated. They will tell you that it's nudity in this movie. They will tell you they sometimes try to paint it pretty and tell you it's a adult thing. Well, they're telling you it ain't appropriate for nobody else to see because that's why they call it adult thing. No, it's not. What it's saying, whatever it's talking about, the language is not appropriate for a Christian. You can hold to that. And I'm saying sometimes some of us, be careful that you don't allow your entertainment to rule your Christianity. It ain't that much joy in what you do. Understand, the Hebrew writer says there is pleasure in sin also. You can be sinning and have pleasure, but yet you still sinning. The Bible says that. Let me share that with us so we'll know that it's in the Word of God. Turn your Bible to the Hebrew letter. Yeah, Hebrews letter, where the Bible referring to Moses. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 25, I'm trying to help us as a Christian that we're not sinning, willfully sinning. You going out, putting stuff in front of you, watching stuff that you ought not be watching. That's sinful. Notice what the Hebrew writer said concerning Moses. Moses, he said, by faith, Moses, verse 24, 11, 24, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather. So you got to make, to be a Christian, you got to make choices. And you got to make good choices. And the only way you can make the proper and the best choices, they got to be made based on the Word of God. Sometimes we say, I hear others say that I got to pray for me. I have decisions that I need to make. And my encouragement to you is when you make that decision, make that decision based on a foundation from the Word of God. Don't make it based on what you feel and how you think about something. Find something, a foundation from the Word of God by which your choice is made. The Bible says Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin. And notice how long it is. It's only for a season. Yeah, is only for a season. And I'm saying to those of us as Christians, be careful in your walk. It's your responsibility. Part of those graces is temperance. Temperance is self-control. You got to learn to control yourself. You can't allow what attracts you and what appeals to you to overrule your intellect or your judgment based on the Word of God. But you got to have the Word of God in you by which your decisions are made. Go back to Peter's letter. Peter says, and I'm talking about again, Peter said, moreover, I will endeavor. I'm going to be diligent. And I'm trying to do this now as I'm preaching the Word of God. Now, I'm giving attention, I'm giving care, and I'm giving diligence. To put these things always in your memory. But again, I can give them to you, but you got to keep them in. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Peter says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses. Peter said, we didn't use no make-believe stories. He said, but we saw what happened. And I can describe what happened. Peter said, he said, for verse 17, for he received from God, talking about Jesus, the Father, honor and glory. We'll show you that. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, and that voice said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's the honor part, what Jesus received from God. Go to Matthew. Let's first look at verse number 18, where he says, and this voice, which came from the heaven, Peter said, we heard when we were with him, talking about Jesus, in the Holy Mount. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, in verse number 1. Excuse me. The Bible says, and after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. That's the glory. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with Jesus. Then Peter said, I answered, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. He said, if thou will, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. See, even sometimes we can get so emotional. Be careful that you don't move away from what God's will is. And the Bible says, while Peter was still rambling, still talking, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Do what the Lord said. Do what the Lord said. So as we close this lesson and we get to the title of the lesson, that's the reason why Peter was able to say, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, those in the Old Testament, they spoke of stuff to come. But what Peter said, we have a more sure word. What we say is confirmed by his being an eyewitness to those things that transpired on the mountain. I know for sure that it ain't no prophecy. I know for sure that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why? Because I heard the voice out of heaven. I heard God say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And Peter said, that's the reason why we have also a more sure word of prophecy. He said, whereunto? And I'm talking to those that are Christians. You do well that you take heed. What take heed means, I have to give attention and care and diligence to what I preach. You have a responsibility to give attention to and to keep continually in your mind what you have heard. And Peter said, it is unto a light that shineth in a dark place. It's until the day dawn. It is that day star, which is Christ, that arises in your heart. And then Peter, as I close, he said, knowing this first, that no prophecy, and prophecy simply means the speaking forth of the mind and counsel of God, he said that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. He said, understand this here, when those, when Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, when they prophesied, it was not the word prophet means one's own interpretation, means explanation. He said, for the prophecy came not in old time or in the Old Testament by the will of man, but holy men. And they were holy because of what they possessed, not because of how they lived. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, they were impelled or they expressed, as Peter's doing now, he's expressing the mind of God in words that were provided and ministered by the Holy Spirit. No prophecy originated in the mind of God. And let me say this here. Nobody today say, well, the Lord spoke to me. That's a lie. Any man get up and say, the Lord came and told me. No, the Lord speaks through his word. That's how the Lord speaks, through his word. God doesn't talk to anyone privately. So there's no prophecy that originates in the mind of the person. Those individuals, as Peter did, as Paul did, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so we have a more sure word, as I said today. All we have to do is just take the word of God. Ain't 94%, it ain't 95%, it ain't 66%. The word of God is 100% that will give you an interest until the everlasting kingdom. All you have to do is walk by faith and then add these graces to your life. It's my responsibility to keep these things to your forefront. And hopefully you are appreciative and thankful that the word of God is being shared in the morning and afternoon. to the best of our abilities, that you can take the word of God and keep it in your heart, and it'll keep you from sinning. That's why David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin. It's the word of God that you keep in your heart that keeps you from sinning. It's the word of God, the same thing that Jesus did, the very same thing that Jesus did, the same thing that he did is what one must do that I can please God in this life. So as I close, how does one begin to ensure a place for themselves in heaven and again become a child of God, a Christian, a member of the church? I've already shared that with you throughout this message. You must be water baptized, because until you do that, turn your Bibles as I close to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6. Because right now, if you are not a member of the Lord's church, you haven't been obedient to God's will, you're in your sin. That's why Paul reminded them in Romans 6 and 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, you're living right now on the grace of God. Paul said, verse number 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What I need to do, Paul? He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. You have to hear the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You have to imitate that. He died for sin. You died to sin. You must be buried or baptized in water for the remission of your sin, and you're baptized into his death. However, you also must repent of your sins. How do I do that? You turn to Christ. You're doing what you're doing now. You turn to Christ, and then you make a confession, as you'll find in Acts 8:37. Before the eunuch got baptized, he made the confession. He was obedient to the will of God. He made the confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must make that same confession, and then we will baptize you as Philip did to the eunuch. He baptized him for the forgiveness of all his past sins. And then the Bible says in verse number 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so when you obey God, as the Bible tells us in Acts 2:47, you can praise God and have him favor with all the people. And what the Lord just did, when you were water baptized as the church of Christ, the Lord adds you to the church daily, such as to be saved. Understand this here. There's no saved person outside of the Lord's church, the church of Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. I thank you for your attentiveness on this afternoon. Thank you very much.